mammoths.
Saber-toothed tigers. The flesh was still intact. It had been frozen, you know? And it was like, you know, put in the fridge for a few millions of years. And they found in their stomach, they found like buttercups and, you know, from a tropical climate. Is that right? Mm. Yeah, for temperate climate. This means at one time, also at Korsnäsgård in Sweden, there's a creek like that, this, and they found it full of grape pips. Grape pips. Because grape pips are very hard. They live for years. I mean, they'll just stay the same for years. So they reckon that all this area was more like temperate or tropical climate before some climate change. So maybe there will be tigers here before. So we're hearing from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. Reading from Nectar of Instruction. Be ready to receive the transcendental gift. Not only is the chanter of the Maha Mantra purified, but the heart of anyone who happens to hear the transcendental vibration of Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, is also cleansed. Even the souls embodied in lower animals, insects, trees, and other species of life also become purified and prepared to become fully Krishna conscious simply by hearing the transcendental
vibration.
This was explained by Thakur Haridas when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu inquired from him about how living entities lower than human beings can be delivered from material bondage. Haridas Thakur said that the chanting of the holy names is so powerful that even if one chants in the remotest parts of Norway, it's written here, Norway, remotest parts of the jungle, the trees and animals will advance in Krishna consciousness simply by hearing the vibration. This was actually proved by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself when he passed through the forest of Jharkhanda. At that time, the tigers, snakes, and deer, and all other animals abandoned their natural
behavior
and began chanting and dancing in Sankirtan. Their natural
animosity.
Of course, we cannot imitate the activities of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but we should follow in his
footsteps.
We are not powerful enough to enchant the lower animals such as tigers, snakes, cats, and
dogs,
or entice them to dance. But by chanting the holy names of the Lord, we can actually convert many people throughout the world to Krishna consciousness. Contributing or distributing the holy name of the Lord is a sublime example of contributing or giving charity, the something principle in Sanskrit.
Dana.
Huh?
Dana.
Dadati, yeah. The Dadati principle. Who knows that verse? Dadati prati grinati guyam akiti prichati bhumte bhumtai te jaiva sadvidi priti lakshanam. Is that right? Dadati means giving in charity. Dadati prati grinati, accepting gifts. Guyam akiti prichati, revealing one's mind and confidence. And inquiring confidentially. Bhunkte bhujayate chaiva means offering prasadam and taking prasadam. These are the six favorable six six loving kinds of exchanges between devotees. Sadvinim Priti Lakshanam. Alright? Priti Lakshanam. No, not Priti Lakshanam. The next chapter is called Sankirtan Yagya. Do we hear Sankirtan Yagya or another chapter?
Chanting at death is interesting.
Chanting at the time of death?
Yeah.
Maybe any time we're driving along the road, we may take bath in the fjord. We don't even want to. Okay. By popular request from all those condemned to death, this material world. The rising and setting of the sun takes away the life of everyone except those who are chanting the glories of the Lord. The devotees are not going to be subject. Chanting at the time of death. Therefore, one should constantly, incessantly chant the Maha Mantra. This is from Bhagavad Gita 8.5. And whoever at the end of his life quits his body remembering me alone at once attains my nature. Of this there is no doubt. Please repeat. And whoever, at the end of his life, quits his body remembering me alone, at once attains my nature. Of this there is no doubt. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. In this verse, the importance of Krishna consciousness is stressed. Anyone who quits his body in Krishna consciousness is at once transferred to the transcendental nature of the Supreme Lord. The Supreme Lord is the purest of the pure. Therefore, anyone who is constantly Krishna conscious is also the purest of the pure. The word smaran, remembering, is important. Does anyone know the Sanskrit of that word? Eight, five. Antakale chamameva Smaran mukva kalevaram Ya prayati samadbhavam Yati nasyatra samshayah. The word smaran, remembering, is important. Remembrance of Krishna is not possible for the impure soul who has not practiced Krishna consciousness in devotional service. Therefore, one should practice Krishna consciousness from the very something of life, the beginning of life. Our Prabhupada says, as soon as one realizes its importance, even if one takes it up later, it's better than nothing. If one wants to achieve success at the end of his life, the process of remembering Krishna is essential. Therefore, one should constantly, incessantly chant the Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Lord Chaitanya has advised that one be as tolerant as a tree, taro eva suhishnuna. There may be so many impediments for a person who is chanting Hare Krishna. Nonetheless, tolerating all these impediments, one should continue to chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So that at the end of one's life, one can have the full benefit of Krishna consciousness. Srila Prabhupada ki. Now this is from Bhagavad Gita, next verse, 8:6. Always think of Krishna. Whatever state of being, what's I say the Sanskrit? Yam yam vapi smaran bhavam.
Yam yam vapi smaran bhavam.
Chajan chante kale. Chajat jante kalevaram.
Chajat jante kalevaram.
Tam tam evaiti konteya.
Tam tam evaiti konteya.
Sadatad bhava bhavita.
Sadatad bhava bhavita.
Whatever state of being one remembers.
Whatever state of being one remembers.
When he quits his body.
When he quits his body.
O son of Kunti.
O son of Kunti.
That state.
That state.
He will attain.
He will attain.
Without fail.
Without fail.
Purport. The process of changing one's nature at the critical moment of death is here explained. A person who at the end of his life quits his body thinking of Krishna attains the transcendental nature of the Supreme Lord. But it is not true that a person who thinks of something other than Krishna attains the same transcendental state. This is a point we should know very carefully. How can one die in the proper state of mind? Maharaj Bharat, although a great personality, thought of something at the end of his life. Thought of a deer at the end of his life, and so in his next life he was transferred into the body of a deer. Although as a deer he remembered his past activities, he had to accept that animal body. So that took place in Nepal actually. I went to that place. It's called Pulaha Ashram on the Gandaki River. It's a very beautiful place. If you walk up to Muktinath to get shalagrams or whatever you're going to do, then you pass through Pulaha Ashram. And the story is in the Bhagavatam. It's a very touching story. He was emperor of the world. He had nice family, treasury, army, everything. But he took to Krishna consciousness and he came to Pulaha Ashram and he was performing regulated devotional service, presumably worshipping the deity or saying so many prayers, chanting mantras. And he happened to see in the Gandaki one mother deer. She was very pregnant. And one lion. Mountain lion. There's still mountain lions in Nepal. And the mother was so scared, she had a miscarriage. And the baby dropped out, and the mother died. And Bharat Maharaj, he felt immediately very compassionate. And somehow he jumped into the river and caught the baby. And then he nursed the baby. He must have got some milk from somewhere, from the cows. And of course the deer became his pet. The deer became his pet, and he began to care more about his pet than his deities or his sadhana. So this was a gradual thing. And so they'd become very attached to the baby Deva who he'd saved. It was very natural to be attached to one's pet. If you've ever had a pet, to become so attached to your dog or your cat or your mouse or whatever it is. So, So then, one time the deer didn't come back at night. It must have gone out grazing, baby deer. And so he went out to look for the deer. And it's just like rocky cavern, you know, the Gandakis, many rocks and drops. So he must have slipped and fell and finished. But he was only thinking of the deer. And then he took another body as in a deer's family. But he, by the Lord's grace, because he was a great devotee, he was given remembrance that he was a devotee in his previous life. He was Bharat Maharaj and so on. So then he decided to just associate with devotees. So he hung around the temple, and I guess the sadhus must have realized this is Bharat. Because they must have known, the sadhus, what happens, time of death. So he used to hang around during the Bhagavatam class and during the kirtans, and used to take prasadam. So the next life he became, who did he become next?
Jadbharat.
Jadbharat, yeah. So this is the point here. Although as a deer he remembered his past activities, he had to accept that animal body. Of course, one's thoughts, during the course of one's life, accumulate to influence one's thoughts at the moment of death. So this life creates one's next life. If in one's present life, one lives in the mode of goodness and always thinks of Krishna, it is possible for one to remember Krishna at the end of one's life. That will help one be transferred to the transcendental nature of Krishna. If one is transcendentally absorbed in Krishna's service, then his next body will be transcendental, spiritual, not material. Therefore, the chanting of
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
is the best process for successfully changing one's state of being at the end of one's life. Srila Prabhupada ki
jai.
From Nectar of Devotion. This is from a chapter called Character of One in Ecstatic Love. When a person is undisturbed, even in the presence of various causes of disturbance, he is called reserved and perseverant. An example of this perseverance and reservation is found in the behavior of King Parikshit, as described in the first canto, 19th chapter, verse 15 of Srimad Bhagavatam. The king says there to all the sages present before him at the time of his death, "My dear Brahmanas, you should always accept me as your surrendered servant. I have come to the bank of the Ganges just to devote my heart and soul unto the lotus feet of Lord Krishna. So please bless me that Mother Ganges may also be pleased with me. Let the curse of the Brahmin's son fall upon me. I do not mind. I only request that at the last moment of my life, all of you will kindly chant the holy name of Vishnu so that I may realize his transcendental qualities." Srila Prabhupada ki.
Jai.
So we can see in this Iskcon, this is our, amongst devotees, this is our social custom. Anyone is leaving his body, then devotees will go there and chant and gather, and so that at the time of death they can remember the holy name. This is our duty. And we hope that at the time when we have to leave our body, they won't just come just to see if I'm dead. But they'll come to give the holy name so that I can remember Krishna. We can remember Krishna. So many ISKCON devotees have passed away in this manner. And also outside ISKCON, this is a wonderful occasion. Someone leaves this world hearing the holy name with prasadam and garlands, tulsi. And we can all remember the film of Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada's disappearance, that he was in Vrindavan. Has everyone seen that film?
Mm-hmm.
I think everyone now. Unfortunately, I wasn't there. We were trying to get there at that time. We just actually, tell the story if you like, we'd just been doing Sankirtan in South India, the BBT Library Party. And we came to Hyderabad, and the temple president, forgot his name, Sankarshan or something, in America, he said, "Oh, we got this telegram from Prabhupada. Everyone must go to Vrindavan. Immediately. But don't worry. Don't worry. We've had many such telegrams. Prabhupada won't leave. Prabhupada's not going to leave. So you just stay for the weekend and do the Sunday program." So that's what he said. He was motivated. He wanted us to do the Sunday program. So, at the same time, the driver was a Muslim from Hyderabad. And Friday night, I think, he said, "Here are the keys. I have to have my teeth fixed." Something like that. I made some excuse. He gave us the keys. And I was in one of those old matadors. But we didn't want to drive. It was a long, long way to Vrindavan from Hyderabad. So we thought, well, anyway, we'll do the Sunday program. On Monday morning, we'll start driving when the driver comes. He'll come early and we'll drive to Bombay, like 24 hours drive, something like that. So that's what we did. And we got in to Juhu about, I don't know, about 1 or 2 in the morning. And we crashed out in the Brahmachari room. And then I was awakened by somebody who was crying in the Brahmachari room. And they were crying. I said, "What's going on, crying in the Brahmachari room?" And I looked up, it was one Indian devotee. He said, "Prabhupada has left. Prabhupada has left." So it was like confusion. And Chitananda Swami was there. He said, "Everyone must shave their heads." Somebody went to... what's the name of the station in Bombay? Juhu? The big station. They went to get a reservation, a whole carriage. They booked a whole carriage to take us to Mathura from Bombay. Dada station, isn't it?
Dada. What was the lot there? The main one,
Churchgate, yeah. Anyway, so we all shaved up and everything. And we jumped on the train that night and we headed for... Meanwhile, Prabhupada was passing away. Oh, he'd already passed away, actually. must have passed away when we were driving. Probably whilst we were driving. I never thought about it.
What day was that then? That was a Sunday then?
Well, we did the Sunday program.
So after the Sunday?
Then the next morning we started to drive. So was it Monday? You were there?
I was there, but I can't remember the day, only the day. It was November the 14th.
I remember.
Because it was my 17th birthday. What a day that was. I can't remember what day of the week it was. I thought he said, because they've kept in Prabhupada's room, they kept the calendar thing that was in Prabhupada's room set at that day. I thought he said
Monday.
Friday, but I could be wrong. I could be totally wrong.
November 14th, 77 is a Monday.
Monday?
Yeah.
It's a Monday. That means I was right, I was driving.
But it was in the evening, it was Monday evening.
Yeah, that was figured out if we took rest.
It was 7:25 on the evening. That I remember. Because the one pujari came running in. Well, he told me this after. The pujari, he said, that they did aarti to Krishna and Balaram, and then just then, you know, dropped everything and ran in the room, and Prabhupada was just leaving.
Really?
An Australian devotee. Can't remember his name.
I remember, do you remember Dhruvanath? You know Dhruvanath?
Dhruvanath, yeah.
He was on Sankirtan in Nepal in Pokhara. And selling books in Pokhara. It's a tourist area. And the guy in the, you know, chai shop or something, said, oh, I just heard on the radio, you know, Guru Maharaj has passed away. And then they headed to Kathmandu. But you were there, I wasn't there. Tell us something. Prabhupada was remembering.
Well, for me, the day started as normal as it does, and there's a contention whether it was after breakfast or after lunch. But I remember it being after breakfast, but others remember it being after lunch. That I was at the Goshala. I lived at the Goshala, and one devotee came on a bike in a panic from the temple to see Vishalini. Vishalini also, because she always had lots of milk because she had children. And they said, quick, quick, we need your milk. Prabhupada's leaving and we need the milk for after he leaves to bathe him. And that's how we were told, you know, you can imagine. And it was like, I mean, you can imagine, we just looked at one another, dropped everything, this is Vishalini and I, and ran to the temple. And on the way, we met one boy who was kind of half, you know, just a local boy who was kind of half, and he said, come, come. And when we arrived, everyone was already in the room, but apparently there'd been a bit of a skirmish before as to whether women could go in the room and all the usual stuff you have to put up with. But when we went in the room, we stayed in the room all day chanting. We just stayed in the room all day. I didn't leave that room.
The big front room with a bed.
Yeah, because Prabhupada's bedroom's actually in the back of the house. But sometime earlier it was moved into his darshan room. And we just stayed in the room the whole day chanting. Different people came and went, visited Prabhupada, came, went.
You were doing kirtan?
The whole time. And then at one point towards the end, you know how usually there's a leader and a follower. Towards the end it was just chanting, there was no leader, no follower, it was just everyone was chanting in unison continually. And Prabhupada left. And then after Prabhupada left, the ladies left the room and the men changed him. And then they put him on the palanquin, on the same palanquin that we still take Prabhupada out on. And he went into the temple room and he went in front of the three deities, and then he was in front of Krishna Balarama and we were circumambulating. and then he was put on the Vyasasan, and we stayed up all night chanting till Mangalarti. So that was like from the evening till Mangalarti we stayed. And then we took Prabhupada around all the temples, because the Goswami from Radharaman, who was Srila Prabhupada's friend, well, Vishwambar, he said we should take Prabhupada to the temple. And he came out and greeted us. And then we went back to the temple, and the whole of Srila Prabhupada's samadhi had been dug. I think sometime earlier Prabhupada had said where the samadhi should be. Although they put it a bit... There's a story that it was too near the wall and that where the samadhi is isn't quite where Prabhupada is, but I don't particularly believe that. But Prabhupada was put in his samadhi, you know, body was packed with salt. Sand went in. And then a pole from Prabhupada's head was put up so you could tell where Prabhupada's head was, you know?
A pole?
A pole. A piece of wood, a danda.
Oh.
In fact, there was some mistake where they'd asked for a danda. And they'd brought Prabhupada's tree dandy, you know? So I don't know whether it was that tree dandy or not. There was some mistake. But then there was... So when it was all packed in, there was just this pole sticking out from Prabhupada's body, which for me was really traumatic, you know, where Prabhupada was lying. I remember everyone else had left and I was still standing there like in shock, actually. Because it doesn't hit you till later, the shock of it, because you get carried with emotion, the hormones, whatever that hormone is, I can't remember the name.
Adrenaline.
The adrenaline, exactly. Because we, you know, we were up all day, all night. It was the cold season. And then just seeing that stick sticking out where Prabhupada was very traumatic. It's not a day I really think about much in one sense.
The point is that everyone was big kirtan, right?
Chanting.
Yeah.
Like I said, we wasn't, towards the end, it wasn't a leader and a follower, we just all chanted.
Actually, there's another, there is a kirtan where Prabhupada's doing that. You ever heard that, Rama? It's in unison, it's not.
I think it just, you just got taken over by the, what was going on. And then for a long time, you know, there was just like a flat piece of earth where, you know, like a slightly raised earth where Prabhupada's samadhi was before the construction started. Because it took a long time to build that samadhi.
So when I came, it was just the newly made samadhi. It was on the third day.
And you mean like a, just like a...
Just the sand.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
And that was the day of the feast. There was a feast on that day for Prabhupada.
I know that Ayodhyapati, who's now Bibi Govinda, I know he told me that he didn't go on the walk, because I always contend the route we take, I say it's a different route. And I was chatting to him one day and I said, isn't it a different route? And he said he didn't go on the route because we sped the whole of Vrindavan that day. He stayed back and cooked. Because we fed the whole of Vrindavan. Well, whoever came.
I remember I was in Pittsburgh and chanted at the temple with the Sankirtan devotees, and Kirtanananda called and told us that Srila Prabhupada had just left. Come right down to New Vrindavan and we'll have some type of a ceremony. So we packed our largest Sankirtan van. It could hold about 15 devotees, and we probably had 20 in it. And it's about an hour and a half drive from Pittsburgh, where the temple was, to New Vrindavan. And the last part of it is very, very winding roads. And I must have been going 80 miles an hour on the highway and up these roads. And all the devotees in the car were chanting. It was just this uproarious kirtan, but everyone was crying at the same time they were chanting. And it was, the emotion in that van was, I can't even explain it. It was just overwhelming. And then all of a sudden, we hear a siren, and a policeman is behind us because we were breaking the speed limit. And so I pulled over, but the kirtan kept going. Everybody just kept chanting. And he approached the van, and he just stood there for a, it seemed like the longest time, just taking in everything that was happening. And I had the window rolled down, and I said, "Officer, our spiritual master just left his body in India, and we're going to meet Vrindavan to have a ceremony." You know, and he just looked at me and said, "Okay, go, but you drive very carefully." You know, you could see that he actually became overwhelmed with the emotions also. So then we went there, and all the devotees were in the temple room, and just had kirtan, and for hours and hours and hours.
It's funny because, you know, you say you were in Hyderabad, which is a long way from Vrindavan, but I always remember the Delhi devotees arrived minutes before Prabhupada left.
Before?
Yeah.
They arrived before?
The Delhi devotees did. And I always remember the look on Mohini Shakti's face, you know, it was like utter shock as she walked in, because it was just that, you know, minutes before Prabhupada. And leaving, they arrived. Celia danced with his wife. I can't remember. I just remember those words. But lots of devotees were trying to get there, and Krishna, like Narottamananda, tells the story how he met Gopal Krishna, and they go to Vrindavan Prabhupada leaving. And they couldn't, you know, in those days we didn't take taxis or anything like that. You know, it would take like a 6 rupee bus or something and be stuck on it for 10 hours. Or a train and get off at Mathura if you could avoid the guards and things like that. And lots of devotees went to Delhi that day for some reason. Lakshmi Moni, Narottamananda. And you can imagine the shock when they got back. Because I don't know whether it's like a covering of Maya or what, but I don't know anyone who really thought that Prabhupada would actually leave. You know, it was like a total shock, even though we could see daily he was lying on the bed, you know, reduced to skin and bone. But still the thought that Prabhupada would leave was, I don't know whether it was just unacceptable to the brain or what. Because it never occurred to me that Prabhupada would leave. Never occurred to me.
It was on the 6 o'clock news in Britain as well, I always remember that.
6 o'clock news?
Yeah. She probably left.
What happened in the manor? Is anyone there? Nobody else?
The right things are going. There'll be no one to ask what happened in the manor.
Offering is done.
In the altar.
Offering is done, Pa.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, one more. Just in the pot.
Shall I finish my story?
Yeah.
Anybody want to hear it?
Yeah.
A bit confidential, but... So we came in, and there was Prabhupada's feast. And then... Did we go take Prabhupada's moti around Govardhan Hill?
Yeah. We did. Not the full 22 kilometers, the shorter version. And we bathed him. I remember him being bathed. I don't know where it was anymore, though. I don't know whether we stopped at every kund and bathed him, but I remember him being bathed.
And I was, because I've been traveling in South India, I got jaundice, a bright yellow color. I was sick with jaundice. I was weak, very weak, but was carried along by the whole thing. And then I thought, well, I mustn't contaminate other devotees. So I asked if somebody could find me a room on my own. So they gave me a room in the Gurukul, on the top story of the Gurukul, overlooking the kitchen. And so that night, I had this dream. It was an amazing dream. Which it wasn't really a dream, but it was something very special. And then I was awake, and there was Prabhupada. He was standing right in front of me. And he just embraced me like this. I couldn't imagine it. And I was embracing him just like my father. And then as I embraced him, then his body turned into a big book, Srimad Bhagavatam, like this size. And I really felt ecstatic. I was crying, and it was like, I felt the Prabhupada was, you know, he'd been waiting to say thank you, because we'd been doing books in South India. And it was a really amazing, although he'd already left, then I had this wonderful dream. And then next morning, then Prabhupada Vishnu had turned up from Nepal. And he said, come up to Nepal, you get your health back, it's cool there, and nice clean water, and there's Ayurvedic doctors, they'll get you back to health. So that was how it worked. The BBT library party was falling apart, Gagamuni had blooped, he'd gone somewhere, and all the GBCs were grabbing the devotees from the BBT library party. You know, going all over the world. Saipataka Maharaj came up to me, he paid his obeisances. I said, what's this? Sannyasi paying his obeisances to me, a mere brahmachari. I said, oh, Mahavishnu, please come to Mayapur. Come to become part of my zone. And then Prabhupada Vishnu came and took me to Nepal. So that was his zone. It was good. It was a great meeting place at that time. Everybody came together. Srila Prabhupada ki.
Jai.
Any comments or questions, please?
When you think about the thinking you've seen how whether one thinks about the time of death, that state of things without fail. Does the karma not have some involvement in that as well? Or, like, you know, because some person could come off the street, you know, and then just see Krishna or see some devotee and then pass his body and go back to Godhead. But what about the karma? Does the karma just completely become null and void if he thinks about Krishna?
Yeah. The story of Ajamir, he was, because in his childhood he was a devotee or a brahmana. So he knew some sadhana and so on, but then he really fell down, became a rascal. But then he called his son's name by habit, and because he was dependent on him, he was calling him to help. But he wasn't thinking particularly of God, but he called his name. So even that was powerful enough to save him from the Yamadutas. And then he became a devotee. In his last end of his life, he became free of his sinful activities. The holy name is so powerful, it can free us from all. When it's chanted inoffensively, it can free us from all sinful karma. So somebody, in theory, could just come in. And maybe many stories about people who just apparently rascals. And they, like, there was this. There's a famous story I like to tell. This in Howrah Station. You ever hear that, Moksha Lakshmi? This guy had fallen under a train. His body was cut to pieces. And Achyutananda was there. So he thought, okay, let's get down on the line and get him to chant the holy names. So he jumped down on the track and said, now you're going to die. Chant Hare Krishna. And
The guy said, no, give me a cigarette.
Oh, I have heard that.
But he heard Hare Krishna. He heard Hare Krishna at the time of death.
Where was that?
Hara Station.
Calcutta, yeah. Hara. Oh, yeah, I have heard that story now, you know.
So if you, by fortune, we hear the holy name, somehow or other, that can free us from sinful reactions.
I told you that story I heard from, you know, back in the day when Prabhupada was still on the planet, that a devotee went to visit his father who had animosity towards the devotees. And when he went in to see him, he said something about, oh, you're Krishna. Huh. And as he said Krishna, he died.
Oh.
Yeah. He was saying it with animosity, something about, oh, you're Krishna or something. And just at that moment, he died. So it was his last word.
Srila Prabhupada ki
jai.
Mahaprasade Govinde.
Mahaprasade Govinde.
Nama Bhamani Vaishnave.
Nama Bhamani.